We have Paul's head. In the book of Galatians, we have his heart. So be it. The book of Romans is one of the outstanding books of the New Testament. And in the 13th chapter, I'm going to begin reading for you at verse number 11, and I shall read down through verse number 14. Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 11. I ask you to stand with me, please, in honor of the reading of God's word. And after I pray, I shall read these verses in your hearing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the book of Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Thank you, and you may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, time is the stuff that life is made out of. It is nebulous. It is powerful. I don't have to tell you, it is fleeting. To how many of us does it seem just a few days ago when as a young man I stepped out on this platform to begin my pastorate 33 years ago? It seems like only yesterday in a lot of ways. The poet said, when as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. Then as with the years I older grew, time flew. Soon I shall find as I travel on, time gone. Turn back, oh clock in your time, turn back, oh time, in your flight, and make me a boy just for tonight. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just go back and let Mother tuck us in bed again and let Daddy come and have a prayer with us and say, son, everything's going to be all right. How many times have I longed for that in the deep hours of a night when the heart was stirred and problems and persecutions and difficulties and trials and heartaches and uncertainties. If we could be just for one night a little boy again. I don't have to tell you that nothing influences people as much as the clock. It governs your life and mine. We get up by the clock. We prepare for work by the clock. We eat breakfast by the clock. We drive to work by the clock. We work by the clock, and some have become clock watchers. Those are the ones that never get anywhere. We go home by the clock. We do our chores by the clock. We eat dinner by the clock. Some of you watch television by the hour. Kind of slipped up on you a little bit, didn't it? You go to bed by the clock. You snore by the clock. The wife punches you and says, turn over. It's 3 o'clock and I haven't gone to sleep because you're snoring so much. Everything we do by the clock, it governs everything that we do. And I think I ought to tell you that the clock can be an enemy or it can be a friend. It depends on which side of the hour perhaps that you're on. Time is precious. In fact, it's so precious that God gives it to us only a tick at a time. And I do think I should remind you one more time at least that you and I are accountable to God for the way that we spend our time. The poet said, I've only just a minute, just 60 seconds in it, forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it, give an account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but all eternity is in it. You see, it's like another poet said, little drops of water, little grains of sand make the mighty ocean and the permanent land. So it is, little minutes, how small they may be, make the mighty ages of eternity. If you have any time to kill, I've got a strong recommendation. Work it to death. By the way, nobody ever died working. People die worrying. But I've never known anybody to work themselves to death. Time is so wonderful. It's so precious. It's an act of foolishness. Now, don't miss this. It is an act of foolishness for us to disregard the importance of time. And I have biblical proof for that because Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 5 says, a wise man's heart discerneth both the time and judgment. In other words, a man who is wise begins to think in his lifetime, where am I going to spend eternity? What is all of this coming to? What does tomorrow hold? What am I going to say? What am I going to do when I stand before the judge of the universe? A wise man discerns the time and thinks about tomorrow and the judgment before which all of us must stand. One of the most frequently asked questions in your vocabulary and mine is this: what time is it? Somebody's already asked you that several times this morning, especially today with the changing of time, and some people missed it altogether. What time is it? I would answer you by saying it's later than you think. I've entitled my message, what time is it? Look again at my text. Paul says, knowing the time, knowing what's happening, knowing the hour in which we live, knowing the closeness of the return of Christ, knowing the nearness of the end of this age, knowing that your death could be only one heartbeat away, knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of our sleep. Why, Paul? Look at the next phrase. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Pastor, what did Paul mean by that? Here's what he meant. The salvation of your body, which will happen when Jesus returns and changes your vile body and fashions it like unto his own glorious body, that time is nearer than the day when you got saved. How long have you been saved? 5 years, 10 years, 40 years, 50 years, 1 week, 1 day? Then the day of the salvation of your body at the return of Christ, when you become perfect, some of you think you've already reached that. I had a fellow tell me one time, said, well, I haven't sinned since I've been saved. I said, what do you call lying? And a fellow like that shakes hands with me, I count my rings because a man that will lie will also steal. I'm saying to you this morning, the time of our redemption will be a time when we're made perfect and we are nearer that than the day that we believe. America needs a wake-up call today. With the violence, with the crime, with the rottenness in government, politics, in every area of life, America needs a wake-up call. More than we need a balanced budget, we need a balanced spirituality. More than we need reforms in all of these ways that one party or another is putting forth, we need an old-fashioned revival from God. That's what America needs today. It's got to begin somewhere. I'm asking God to let it begin in Worth Baptist Church in your life and mine. Ephesians 5:14 says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Wake up call for America. Three thoughts now about time. Number one, it is time to pray. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Did you start out this day without asking God's wisdom, God's counsel, God's guidance, God's direction? Do you dare start out in a workaday world tomorrow and not get down on your knees and say, "Dear God, this day I need your help. Give me this day wisdom, counsel, guidance, direction for my life, because I may never make it back home. I need you, dear God." It's time to pray. Prayer is something you can do in every season, anytime, anywhere, any place, under any circumstance. Whatever the posture of the body, the soul can be on its knees. And I think I ought to tell you, the only time God is deaf is when you and I are dumb. The only time he doesn't hear is when we don't speak. The only time he doesn't answer is when we don't call. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not of." Jesus said in Luke 18:1, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." That suggests to me, if you don't pray, you're going to faint. You're going to grow spiritually faint-hearted. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says, "Pray without ceasing." You don't have to be down on your knees every time you pray. You can pray at the computer. God knows most of them need help. You can pray over the dishpan, over the ironing board, even driving down the freeway. But I suggest you keep one eye open. After all, the Bible says watch and pray. So be careful on that one. But praying always. Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. For what man of you," Jesus asked, "who if his son ask him bread will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish will give him a serpent? If ye being evil will give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things unto them that ask him?" So keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. James reminds us in his 4th chapter, verses 2 and 3, "You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss." Let me give you this warning, ladies and gentlemen. There will come a time when it will be too late for you to pray. Psalm 32:6 says, "Pray for this cause, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee." Now watch it. "In a time when thou mayest be found." Psalm 69:13 says, "But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time." There will come a time when it's too late to pray. Come back with me to Jeremiah's day in the 6th century before Christ. And the people of Jerusalem and people of Judah had so hardened their hearts against God. They had worshipped other gods. They had adopted other gods. They had been sinful. They had been disobedient. They had been vile. They had been lustful. They had stoned the prophets. They had rejected the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something this morning. The most dreadful, the most damnable, the most destructible thing you can do is to reject the word of God. They rejected God's word. And here's what God said to Jeremiah when he started to pray for that crowd. Listen to it, Jeremiah 11:14. God said to Jeremiah, "Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble." Some members of Worth Baptist Church are thinking, "Well, good old Brother Raymond, he'll be praying for me. I can live like I want to live and treat God like I want to treat God. Don't go to church half the time, never tithe, never witness. But Brother Raymond will be praying for me." Well, I want to tell you something. One of these days, it's going to not do any good for me to pray for you, because God's not going to hear my prayer for you. I would suggest you try it for yourself. Now, I'm praying for you. You'd be surprised at the long list of prayers, the names that I have on my prayer list. I'm praying for you, but there'll come a time when it won't do me any good to pray for you. It won't do you any good either. I suggest you start to pray now, because there comes a time when it's too late. Revelation chapter 6 says, "In that day, at the end of this age, the bondman, the captain, the freeman, the slaves, the big men, the small men, all men will cry out unto the rocks. Now listen to this prayer. Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, for the great day of God's wrath is come, and who shall be able to abide it? It'll be too late to pray. Pray now. God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening to keep your heart in tune. Whisper a prayer in the morning. Whisper a prayer at noon. Whisper a prayer in the evening to keep your heart in tune. For Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. It is time. What time is it? It is time for America to fall on her face before God. Secondly, it is time to seek the Lord. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. Don't miss it now, for it is time to seek the Lord. What time is it, Pastor? It is time to seek God. I admonish you, seek not the professors of science. They don't have the answer to your problems. Seek not the counsel and advice of the promoters of education. They can't wash away your sins. Seek not the proponents of philosophy, because all of their reasoning is to no avail. Seek not the politicians of government, for their vain promises will fail. I admonish you in the name of Jesus Christ. Seek the Lord God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all grace and mercy and peace and comfort and kindness and compassion and love and life and light and liberty and power and majesty and dominion and grace, the God of all eternality. Seek him. For he's the source of life. He's the source of your strength. He's the source of salvation. He alone is able to save. God thought it. The Bible taught it. The Spirit wrought it. Jesus bought it. The devil fought it. But praise God, I caught it. That's old-time salvation. That'll do when you're dying, my friend. I'm going to tell you, this formal religion and shaking hands with a preacher and signing a card and going down the aisle and saying, I do, that's not going to get the job done. You must be born again. Jesus alone is able to save. He's able to save unto the uttermost all that come to God by him. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's able to save, he's able to satisfy, he's able to secure you. Once in Christ forever. Nothing from his love my soul shall sever. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Seek him first. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, what were all of those things? If you go up in a few verses, Jesus was talking about food, clothing, and shelter. And I think I ought to tell you this morning, they are the only three things that you need. Everything else is a bonus. Are you listening to me? Everything else you have in your life beyond food, shelter, and clothing is a bonus. The great essentials of life, food, shelter, clothing. Jesus said, seek God first, and all these things, what things? Food, shelter, and clothing will be yours. By the way, if you can't trust God for life and living, how on earth did you ever trust him with your soul? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek him before all else. Seek him with all your heart. Seek him while he may be found. Oh, you say, but Pastor, I've got plenty of time, and I just went to the doctor last week, and he pronounced me sound as a dollar. But if you're not any more sound than a dollar, I feel sorry for you this morning. Maybe sound as a yen. I've buried people who 3 or 4 days before the doctor said, you're as healthy as you can be. I'm saying to you, seek him now. Isaiah says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Isaiah 55, verse 6, verse 7. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You want to get your sins forgiven, you got to go to the right person. And that's Jesus Christ. Seek him today. Seek him now. I say to you, beware of procrastination. Procrastination is the greatest thief in all the world today. Steals away your opportunities. Tells you, wait until tonight to join the church. Wait until tonight to be saved. Wait until revival time. Wait until next week. Wait until next fall. Wait until next year. Wait. Wait a minute. Joshua said in his 24th chapter, verse 15, choose ye this day whom you will serve. I warn you, every day you put it off, it'll be harder for you to decide. There is a line by man unseen that crosses every path that marks the boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. There is a time I know not when, a place I know not where, marks the destiny of men to heaven or despair. Today is the day. Hebrews 4:7 says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I think I ought to tell you that the same sun that melts the ice hardens the clay. You can turn a deaf ear to God today, and I'll guarantee you it'll be harder tomorrow for you to listen. It'll be harder Tuesday for you to listen. It'll be harder next Sunday for you to listen if you harden your heart today if you hear his voice. 2 Corinthians 6:2, Paul says, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Does it say anything about tomorrow? Do you have a promise? Let me ask you, do you have a promise of tomorrow? Could you guarantee me today that you're going to be alive tomorrow? Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool. Come now, let us reason together. The poet said, the clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just where the hand will stop at late or early hour. Now is the only time you own. Live, love, toil with a will. Place no faith. How long did it take me to quote that little poem? A few seconds. Do you know how many people died while I was quoting that? 39 people died while I was quoting that 4 lines of the poetry. This hour, between 11 and 12, from the time you came into worship till the time you leave, 5,417 people will go out to meet their Maker. That's 5,417. Will you be among them? It's not 12 o'clock yet. There's one heartbeat between you and all eternity. And the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, I think I ought to emphasize this, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Psalm 89 and verse 47 says, remember how short my time is. Job said in his 7th chapter, verse 1, is there not an appointed time unto man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? If you read the prayer of Moses in the 90th Psalm, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. And as they watch in the night, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they're like the grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their labor strength and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Now don't miss this. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, tell us, teach us how to number every day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, maybe all over. Teach us to number our days so we can be smart enough to say, Lord, whenever it comes, I'm ready. He that being often reproved, Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You know, there have been a few people in the world that said, I don't believe there's a God. I read about one man that went out into an open field in an electrical storm and said, now, dear God, if you're a God, if there's a God in heaven, if you're who you say you are, just strike me dead with a bolt of lightning. Well, God wanted to send that lightning over somewhere else, so he sent along a little net. It went right into his throat and choked him to death. Do you see what I'm saying? Life is so brief, so short, so uncertain. Don't fail to seek. What time is it? Time to pray. What time is it? It's time for you to seek the Lord. Seek him while he may be found. I have one more. Oh, by the way, I think I ought to tell you that those who decide to get saved at midnight usually die about 10:30. I read a story about a man in the New Testament named Felix. He was a governor of the Jews, appointed by the Romans, a Roman governor over the Jewish people. And one day Paul was preaching to him. Wouldn't you like to have heard Paul preach? Wouldn't you like to have heard that sermon on Mars Hill? Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too... I don't have time for that. But wouldn't you like to have heard Paul preach? And he stood before that courtroom that day. And he reasoned with Felix of righteousness, of temperance, and of the judgment to come. And Felix sat there on his bench and he just trembled. He looked at Paul and said, sir, I don't have time for you right now. Go your way. When I have a more convenient time, I'll call for you. Some of you may be saying the same thing. Pastor, not today. Not April the 2nd. When I'm ready, Pastor, I'm gonna get saved. Listen, hell is full of good intentions today. And if you'll go with me on an imaginary journey to hell, I somehow believe today we'd hear Felix crying out, Paul! Paul, I'm ready now! I'm ready now! I'm wanting to be saved now, but it's too late. Oh, by the way, there's another man in the scripture named Agrippa, and Paul said to him, you ought to get saved, Agrippa. And Agrippa said, almost you persuade me to become a Christian. If we could go back into hell again, I think we'd hear Agrippa saying, almost, 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 almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I want to tell you, friend, almost is not enough. Step over the line. It's time to seek the Lord. One other thought, and I'll give it to you right out of God's Word. It is time. Please don't miss what I'm going to read to you. It is time to give serious consideration to the coming of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you know not the hour that your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what hour, in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Chapter 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their lamps with their vessels. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Who are you? I don't know you. Listen, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Today he could come. This hour he could come. Before it ever strikes midday, noon, the trumpet could sound and Jesus may come. What time is it? On God's clock. And by the way, don't look, but on your clock too, it's 2 minutes till 12. On God's eternal clock, it's about 2 minutes before the midnight hour. The Revelation chapter 10, Jesus stood, listen now, don't miss this. Jesus stood with 1 foot on the earth and 1 foot in the sea, raised his hand to heaven and said, time on earth shall be no more. That hour is coming. It may come to you today. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What time is it, Pastor? It's time for us to get right with God. May we stand, please, for our prayer. While every head is bowed, please now listen. You don't have to wait until we sing. You don't have to wait until we pray. If you need an altar, come on right now. Just step out of your seat. Come on. There'll be someone to help you, show you the way. Come on right now. The most important hour is the invitation hour, and some people disregard it. But listen to me. Don't disregard this hour. You listen to me. You listen. I'm telling you the truth. The time has come for you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. The time has come for you to join this church. The time has come for you to put your life on the altar. Right now, Father, speak to our hearts. Breathe on us. Help us. Strengthen us. Convict us. Convince us. Oh, may the Holy Spirit right now speak to men and women. Dear God, there are people who need to come and trust the Savior. They don't know what it's all about. It may be all foreign and new to them. Help them to step out and say, oh, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Some who need to join the fellowship. Some who need to come and pray. May they come in this hour. In Jesus' name I ask it. Reverently, while our heads are still bowed, the choir is going to offer the invitation appeal. If God is speaking to your heart about any matter, salvation, church membership, a prayer of dedication, whatever it is, right now, come on, while we sing the first stanza, don't put it off, don't wait. While we sing, while we wait, while we pray, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. God bless you to come. 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 Come on now, while he speaks. Come on, now while the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart today. That's right, come on today. Come on now while he speaks. Give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Trust the Savior. Dedicate your life to him. Join the fellowship. While the Holy Spirit gives you an opportunity to do so. Come on now. While the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Almost persuaded. Almost persuaded.